You're going to talk about Cluster API operating Kubernetes with Kubernetes. How?
Hello. Thank you for coming. My name is Alex. I'm a software engineer. I work at SUSE on Rancher. I do a lot of stuff related to cluster lifecycle. And today I'm going to talk about Cluster API and operating Kubernetes with Kubernetes. Hope it will be fun. Here is a short summary of what we are going to talk about today. I'll try to explain the problem of managing the Kubernetes cluster lifecycle. I'll try to explain what is Cluster API, how does it approach this problem, and we'll take a look at some building blocks of Cluster API, and also I'll be doing a demo, and because I don't have enough time, the demo will be done simultaneously with the talk. So it's a live demo, nothing is recorded, hopefully everything will be fine. I already had some problems with networking today, but let's see. So let's move on to the next slide. So cluster lifecycle is complicated, and why is that? What if you have to manage more than one cluster, say you have 10 Kubernetes clusters or maybe 100 Kubernetes clusters, then the problem becomes similar to managing containers and why we invented Kubernetes. And Cluster API tries to solve like this problem of managing multiple clusters, and also sometimes you have to manage the underlying infrastructure, and that also somehow needs to be done in a nice and consistent way. Then you also have to upgrade clusters, sometimes you have to upgrade multiple clusters, and upgrading clusters is not always easy, especially when it comes to control planes, and you want to deploy your clusters on different infrastructure. Let's say you have something running on AWS, then you have some bare metal things running, and you also need to somehow manage that. And you don't want to use different tools that depend on your infrastructure. You want to use something that is a single point of management and is consistent. It provides some nice experience, and it's easy to use and automate. So what is Cluster API? Cluster API takes this approach where we install it. It's like it's an extension to Kubernetes API that allows you to provision, upgrade, and operate your cluster. And you install it on Kubernetes. Then you use this, what we call management cluster, to manage workload clusters. Yes, you can do this on different infrastructure provider. You can have one management cluster managing stuff running on AWS, then you can have the same cluster managing your clusters on Azure. So this is the basic idea of Cluster API. And next we are going to take a look at the building blocks of KEPI, and I will start my demo. But before this, let me switch to the terminal and show you what I have prepared in advance. So I deployed a management cluster where I already installed KEPI, so we don't lose time. Everything should be up and running. And yeah, let's move on. The main entity in the Cluster API is called Cluster, and it represents a Kubernetes cluster. It's not tied to some kind of infrastructure, so it's just a generic Kubernetes cluster. And to make it more clear, I will show you how it looks like. As you can see, it's a normal Kubernetes object that has some kind, metadata, but what's interesting for us is the spec here. You can see the spec references two things. Yeah. The first reference is a reference to infrastructure. For this demo, I'm going to use Docker as infrastructure provider because I don't want to make any requests to some cloud because of a network. I wasn't sure if it's going to work properly. So I decided to use Docker as our infrastructure provider. It's an infrastructure provider we use for development and testing. And the second interesting reference is a reference to what we call control plane providers. And because control planes are harder to manage than worker machines, we require a specific resource for that. And this control plane provider is based on a tool called KubeADM, which is a default that you can use with KEPI. So let me create this cluster, and we can take a look at the objects that are referenced inside. The first reference you saw is a reference to Docker cluster. It's also what we call an infrastructure cluster, and it's responsible for all prerequisites that are required to run your cluster on any infrastructure. So, for example, if you're running it on public cloud, it will provision all networks, load balancers, security groups, VPCs, and whatever else you need. And this is like this reference is actually what makes Cluster API pluggable. So if you want to add your own provider, you just have to follow a documentation, implement API with some rules, and then you can reference it, and that's how you plug in your own provider. Let me show you how Docker cluster looks in our case. It's pretty simple. There is no real infrastructure to run. So I'm going to create it too. Okay, that's done. Then the next reference we saw in cluster object was a reference to what we call a control plane provider. What it does, it creates a control plane machine, generates cloud config, and also is responsible for any other actions related to control plane management, stuff like, you know, etcd, core DNS, or whatever you implement or want to enable. Let me show you how it looks like. This will be so far the biggest object we have there, because it contains some configurations we require for our control plane. But as you can see, you can customize some Kubernetes components there using Kubernetes API. So if you like, you can just specify anything you need here to provision control planes. You can also specify a replica set, and you also need Kubernetes version there. Now, maybe I forgot to create it. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about worker machines and how does KPI approach managing machines. It's important first to note that machine is just a host for your Kubernetes node. So it can be virtual machine, can be bare metal, can be anything your infrastructure provider means. And I'd like to show an example with pods. You don't manage pods manually, right? You don't use them as a standalone resource. You use something else. If you want to manage replicas count for your pods, use something called replica set that has just one purpose, create you a certain count of pods. And then if you want to do more complex stuff, like rolling upgrades, you use a deployment on top of this that manages replica sets. So KPI followed the same pattern and created machines. Then there is a machine set that manages replica count, and there is a machine deployment on top of it that does more complicated things. Let's go back to the terminal. I will show you the machine deployment. As you can see, similar to normal deployment, it has replica count, then it has a selector, it has a template, and inside the spec is similar to what we saw with cluster object. It has two references. One is for our infrastructure template, which is Docker for this demo, and the second one is a Bootstrap provider, which is based on kubeadm. So the infrastructure template or Docker template that we saw there in the reference are just specifications for your host depending on your cloud provider. It can be an instance type, storage size, anything you put there. And the second reference to Bootstrap provider is just a reference to an API that generates user data with proper cloud config so you can configure your Kubernetes components as you want. Let me show you how it looks like. For a Docker machine, it's just an image in this case and some extra mounts. And for Bootstrap provider. We just have some arguments for our Kubernetes components, and this is it. Okay, so this was it. Let me now check if everything works fine. Yep, everything works fine. As you can see, we have three control plane machines that are running inside Docker containers that we created before, and after some time we should get a worker machine that we just created. Let's take a look at how it all works together. We have a cluster object that represents the cluster, then it has two references and an infrastructure provider, which is Docker in this case, and it also has to reference a control plane provider, which is based on kubeadm. And once these two are done their job, you can connect your machine deployments that have to reference a machine template, so Kepi knows what host specifications you want, and also a kubeadm config template where you can configure your Kubernetes components. And This is all you need to create a basic Kepi cluster. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to talk about other things that exist in Kepi, like machine health checks that help you track and remediate unhealthy machines. Then there are cluster classes, which are powerful templates for creating clusters. You can also connect cluster autoscaler if you want, and there are day two operations coming, so you can think of Kepi as like Swiss knife for everything related to cluster lifecycle. And we still have time. I'm going to show you how we can upgrade the cluster. Let's check its state again. Yeah, so if you... Now you can see that we have three control planes, and they all are running Kubernetes v1.25. And let me upgrade them to Kubernetes v1.26. So how do I do this? In order to do this, we have to change the version in the control plane provider object, and we also have to change the image reference in the machine template. So just by doing so, I will start upgrading the cluster. Yep, as you can see, cluster API started to spin up new control plane machine with v1.26 that is going to eventually replace old ones and is going to take care of for us, like ensuring etcd quorum and all sorts of things, so we don't have to take care about this. I'm going to go back to the summary, and let's go once again through what we saw today. So I tried to explain the problem of managing Kubernetes clusters, and the main idea, we wanted to have a tool that provides a declarative and consistent API and will allow you provision and manage your clusters on different infrastructure in some nice way, so you can have a single point of managing your clusters for all possible infrastructures you're running. And this approach is like, use Kubernetes, because Kubernetes already provides a lot of tools for building a powerful API. I think that was it. Maybe I was a bit quick, but I don't have anything else. I'm ready to answer questions if someone has.
Okay, we have ample time for questions.
Hi, thanks. Really nice demo. So this allows you to manage the workload clusters. Can it also manage the life cycle of the management cluster,
yes,
or how
you
do
can.
You do that?
You can.
So what if it destroys itself? So what happens then?
It shouldn't. Depends Never on how happened. You use it, but yeah.
Works on localhost. Thank you.
You can manage management clusters.
Thank you. The question about updates, is it possible to update components like Kubelets without recreating virtual machines?
Yes.
And how is it working?
It's done through your Bootstrap or control plane provider. Yeah, and you also have to provide an image that will be used for your new instances.
No, I mean, if you need to update Kubelets and you don't want to reorder new virtual machines.
Coster API doesn't support in-place upgrades. It will be create a new machine with new image, new everything, and then replace an old one.
Okay, got it. And can you tell a little more about control plane updates?
Sorry?
Control plane updates. Updates of control plane nodes and components.
So I just showed one. Like when you change the version, it will start replacing old machines with newer ones. You just have to provide all the specifications. You have to provide the new Kubernetes version you want and also a new image. So we try to bake everything inside the machine image so you don't have to download new things, and it will just replace old machine with a new one, with new versions. So it's a replace upgrade. It's not in place. It's the same as pods. If you change, for example, reference to image, it will destroy old one and create a newer. So it's the same concept.
There's an online question is in the chat. Are there any latency requirements between the management cluster and the workload cluster?
It depends on your use case, but yeah, ideally you should take care of it, like with your management cluster lives somewhere near workload clusters, or is able to reach it within some limits.
And one more, does the management cluster need to run at all the time, or can it be shut off when not doing lifecycle work?
So here is the thing. If you disable it, nothing will manage your Kubernetes cluster, so they will be basically unmanaged. Yeah, your workload cluster will continue running, but there is nothing that will keep track of them. For example, if you use cluster autoscaler or machine health checks, you need your management cluster to be running all the time because it constantly looks at the state of your workload clusters.
Okay, if there are no more questions and we can end a few minutes early, thank you for the talk. Thank you all for attending.